Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, let him play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Happy Sunday evening, my friends in Steeler Nation. This is Brian Anthony Davis, and welcome to Steelers' final score. Lots to celebrate this evening as we celebrate the Pittsburgh Steelers winning week one of the 2017 season over arch rival the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland, 21-18. As we're going to recap the game, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Anthony DeFeo. Tony, how are you this evening? Tony, are you there? Having trouble hearing Tony this evening. I'm sure he will go ahead and call back in soon. But as far as everything goes, welcome to the final score. And we have so much to talk about. And first and foremost, this is your show. We want to hear from you. So be sure to give us a call. And by doing it, you can dial 347-850-8581 anytime during the live broadcast and talk about the Steelers Week 1 AFC North grudge match. Hello, Tony. Are you there?
Hey, sorry, Brian. I had a little phone trouble.
No problem. I mean, you're celebrating. I know what you're doing there over in the Berg, celebrating the Steelers' win tonight.
You got me. You called my bluff. That was definitely a game that had a lot of storylines.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. We're going to do that, but first let's talk about the show being sponsored by Frank Walker Law, the top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and home to one of the nation's top 100 ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. For his Pennsylvania office, call 412-212-3878. Or to reach his West Virginia office, call 304-712-2089. You should also check out his website, frankwalkerlaw.com, to see how he can help you in your time of need. Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. Well, first and foremost, the Steelers won today, but I do want to touch on something else before we get into all the details of the game. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all the people in the nation, especially in Florida and in Texas, especially in Florida, dealing with the hurricane. I've been watching the Weather Channel all day between the games, and it's just complete devastation. And our hearts go out to you. God bless and Godspeed. Anthony, big game today,
yes,
my friend.
What's
your initial reaction? What's your knee-jerk reaction after watching 3 hours of the Steelers in winning, but in very unspectacular fashion?
Well, my knee-jerk reaction is, I guess you probably need more than a few series for the starters on offense throughout the preseason, maybe the defense too. But at the same time, it's pretty much what you have to do nowadays. If you see when you see injuries like what happened to Julian Edelman a few weeks ago, you almost have no choice but to hold your starters out. I think Roethlisberger had like 15 snaps in the preseason, something like that. And obviously Bell didn't have any, and Bryant only had a couple games worth, Brown and those people, but you know, they got away with a win. I guess it's better to, you know, go through growing pains with a win than with a loss. So I'll take it. It's a lot better. After everybody was talking about them being 5-1 or 6-0 in the AFC North this year, I'll certainly take that over an 0-1 start over the Browns, or against, after a loss to the Browns. So all things considered, it was a pretty putrid offensive performance, but I think the defense played better than people are probably giving it credit for.
Tony, I'm going to agree with you completely on the fact that, you know, the preseason, it's a double-edged sword. You know, as much as I want to see these guys in street clothes in August, and I was behind it, I'm like, hey, sit these guys. They're professionals. They know what to do. For, you know, you can't argue with the fact that you need to get into football shape, and that's real-time action with getting hit and absorbing those hits. And that's something that Le'Veon Bell, that was the biggest complaint that I had about his holdout. It's because he was shortchanging himself and the team during the holdout just because he wasn't getting in hitting shape. He wasn't able to absorb those hits, and it took him a while. But the bright spot to the whole thing, what I saw in that fourth quarter of this ball game today, I saw them come alive when they needed to come alive. And I believe that if they played like that in the first quarter, this was a completely different game. Le'Veon Bell was coming alive. And it was a shame. I mean, I will say this about Le'Veon Bell. It was a shame that every time he, early on, he reeled off a pretty decent run, twice it was Juju getting busted with holds, and Pouncey got busted on a hold. And it just seemed that they were getting nullified. So you really need to have all those guys at once and figure out how to do it in the right way without getting these guys hurt, because you're absolutely correct. Julian Edelman is gone for the season. We saw other guys go out for the season because of preseason action. So it's a very delicate situation. They got through it. You're right. They got through the game today. It wasn't pretty, but it's like I say, it's like taking the ugly girl to the prom. At least you got to dance and you're happy at the end of the night. So, once again, we want to hear from you. This is your phone, your show. Just phone in. Talk to us, 347-850-8581. I know there's lots of things on your mind. So give us a call. Let us know what you thought about today's game. You can determine how long we go in the show. We have lots of things to talk about. And I decided to switch things up. We're going to go ahead and give game balls at the end of the show. And what I was thinking of, we do grades, and we're going to go ahead and give out grades, and I do that in a weekly column that hits every Tuesday. I give grades, and I give honor roll and detention. And I know that's self-explanatory, but I'm going to go ahead and change that tonight on the fly, because I'm thinking, what do we always hear from Mike Tomlin? Recently, his new catchphrase, and he has a lot of catchphrases, but I'm putting you on the spot. You don't know where I'm going with this, Tony. What is his new choice, his phrase to evaluate players? Especially, I'll give you a hint. He mentioned about the tight ends when he brought in Vance McDonald.
I know where you're going with that. They weren't varsity level.
Yeah. So instead of honor roll and detention, we're going to pass out varsity letters and junior varsity players for the week. So we're just gonna go ahead and switch that up. So have your knee-jerk reaction. There's got to be things that you liked, though. So let's start with varsity letters. Who would you put on your honor roll and give out those varsity letters to today?
Well, I'd give my first letter to Tyler Medikevich, because, you know, with the very clean punt block in the first quarter that led to the first touchdown that was recovered by Chicolo in the end zone. And if he doesn't get that, I mean, it might be a completely different ball game. So that would be my first one. You want me to name some more?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go ahead and put that on hold a second. We're going to go back to that. We have a caller, and I'm not going to keep him long on the line. So I agree with you on Dirty Red. I mean, he is a special teams demon. You know, seventh rounder comes in and plays like that to earn his way on the team like he did last year, and now he just keeps backing it up. I see this guy as a possible Zach Thomas, Anthony. He's just a guy that could really go out and just play football. So if you're going to see anybody in a varsity jacket, it's a guy like Tyler Matakevich. So Dirty Red, good pick there. Let's go to the phones. We have area code 678. You're on Steelers Final Score with Brian and Tony.
Hey, guys. This is Nick from Marietta, Georgia. You know, of course, everybody I think is pretty happy in Steeler Nation with a W, no doubt about it. Want to see what you guys think, though, about Iffy. I mean, I see on the sites, I don't see anybody listing Haley as a loser. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's a loser for today. You know, he's very lucky that, you know, the team came together and they were playing at Cleveland. But seriously, 5 out of 6 first plays are bubble screens or little dump-offs. Then you got the situation where there's really no downfield throws until about the second quarter. Very, very confusing. You know, and not only that, the no use of Knicks until probably about the fourth quarter, when everybody who just pays attention to the Steelers realizes that that's your strong suit for if you're going to try to get Bell involved. What do you guys think about that?
Well, Mick, I wish I could show you my notebook here because I actually had Todd Haley as one of my surprises on the junior varsity level. I agree with you. The play calling was abysmal. I have seen more action in a Judi Dench movie. I mean, that's how boring that offense looked at the beginning. Now, Mike Tomlin came out today, and he said it at halftime, he said it at postgame, and he's going with this, and that's all he wants to talk about is the fact that when you're getting penalties, you're behind the chains, you're first and 15, you're not, you can't run the ball. Now, I completely disagree with that, and the reason I disagree with that, I mean, it's a good excuse, but the reason I disagree with that completely is on that first series, before they even got any of the penalties, because the penalties started coming when they would get Bell the ball. That's when they started happening. And he actually looked pretty decent at first. And he did not seem to be in the game plan at the beginning of the game. And I don't know. I mean, this is just me being conspiracy theorist, but was this the consequence that Mike Tomlin was talking about without benching him at the beginning but not involving him early on? I mean, that could be, or I may be way off base. Anthony, what do you think about that?
Well, Nick and Brian, you both bring up great points because we were thinking the same thing. I was watching with my family, and we couldn't figure out why they were throwing one. There's basically 2-yard passes on every play. And when they did give the ball to Bell, you know, it was out of the shotgun. I mean, they weren't using him, you know, as a traditional running back in the beginning. And like you said, it's like they were trying to teach him a lesson. And
can I add to that, guys? Can I add something real quick, too? You guys notice something that if you're playing a young defense that is inexperienced, I don't understand why Haley lets the opposing, and this happened last year, by the way, too, but why would you let the opposing defense off the hook without having a running back there with those spread formations with nobody there by Ben? To me, you were telling that defense, don't worry about us giving it off to the Pro Bowl running back. Don't worry about play action. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just tee off on our wide receivers and our routes. That's another thing that just is amazing, why you would let them off the hook. Just from a strategic point of view.
The only thing I'll say about that is, as far as the game plan in the beginning, is from what the announcers were saying, Trent Green, you know, on the CBS announcers, they were saying that the safeties were playing so far off, you know, 20, 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So maybe opportunity there to attack them deep. At the same time, instead of throwing bubble screens, maybe you attack them underneath over the middle, and they weren't doing that either. I
think it's
that game plan.
Mick, I think you're
it's
right.
Just, it's just crazy.
Mick, I agree with you, Mick. I think we both do in a way that they did let them off the hook. This really could have been a blowout from the get-go. It was something that I wonder if there, like I said before, I wonder if there's something more behind it. But we're going to have games where we're actually – applauding the way Haley called it, but this was just a vanilla game. I had people in my house today And we were talking, the one guy, he's a pessimist, but he came up and said that his 8-year-old daughter could have called a better game, and I would have rather, I think she would have been more innovative. There was no innovation today. It was easy to figure out. I mean, everything was predictable. So, yeah, he is on my loser list today. Todd Haley, I mean, he won't be on for long because I'm sure he's going to come back with something good. I think this is going back to last season again where they think they're outthinking another team, and they're not. And that's
– You're right.
It's almost like they feel like they're fooling somebody by doing it this way, by being predictable. And no, predictable is predictable.
Look at how – Brian, look at how they used Bell over the last 2 months of the season last year, which is basically why the offense did so well, because they had no receivers. I mean, they just, how many touches did he have per game? I don't remember the numbers, but I know they were an overwhelming amount. And you're up 7-0 after a special teams play. You force two punts and you have them on the ropes. Why not put Bell in? If you want to teach him a lesson by giving him the ball 10 times out of 12 plays, letting him get his work in, at the same time punishing Cleveland's defense. Brian.
Yeah, I can't argue with you on that either. I just thought Bell was underused from the beginning. I think that's a consensus from the three of us on this call. I hope it gets better. It needs to get better. I think they need to take a long look at what worked and what didn't work and go back to what didn't work, because that was just an abysmal play calling performance. And that's the guy you look at, Todd Haley. So Mick, I'm going to thank you.
Thank you.
Best wishes down in
thank
Marietta.
You,
hope to hear from you a lot during the season, my friend.
You got it. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks.
See you next.
So that was Mick. I appreciate Mick being the first one calling on Steelers' final score. Hey, you call in. It's very easy to do. Just dial 347-850-8581. And you can talk to us about your concerns, what you loved, what you didn't love. We're going to go back to applauding some players today. Varsity letters. So your first varsity letter was on defense and special teams. So how about a varsity letter on offense?
Well, that's easy. I mean, obviously, there's some obvious candidates that we'll probably talk about, but Jesse James, you know, outside of Brown, the receivers did nothing today. And Jesse James, he got you 6 receptions for 41 yards, 2 big red zone touchdowns, the only 2 touchdowns, 2 big red zone touchdowns on the day. So, yeah, for all the talk about Vance McDonald, I think he had 1 target and he was a drop. I mean, it was a pretty decent defensive play, but he still dropped the ball, and that's what he was criticized for coming to town. So I'm going to go with Jesse James for offense.
All right. That's a good varsity letter, and I am not going to disagree with that whatsoever. I'm handing out game balls at the end, so I'm going to probably save a player for my game ball. And old JJ was on my list there. I'm going to go in a direction that I think people are going to surprise me. It would be very surprised with my offensive varsity letter, and it's going to be Alejandro Villanueva. We didn't hear his name at all today, and that's why he's getting one. He kept Ben upright. He kept him safe. I don't believe he gave up a sack. I think there was 1 sack that was given up, but the pressure was not too bad. I was kicking around giving it to Ben Roethlisberger, but I'm going to go with the protection today, and I thought the protection was half-decent. But Alejandro, he got a big contract. He deserved a big contract, and he struggled in the preseason. And I thought today he was a good anchor of that line, looked very good, and okay, I've got some news here. I just heard my phone beep. If you heard that, so I'm gonna finish up with what I was saying about Alejandro Villanueva, and I'm gonna go right into breaking news, and nobody's gonna like it. Right now, the Steelers are fearing that Stephon Tuitt tore his bicep and will miss the rest of the season. That is not official. That's coming from Bleacher Report. It's not official that he tore it, but when you have a team fearing that that's what happened, then that's I would probably think that's pretty much on the money. I know he is getting an MRI either later on this evening or tomorrow, but that is the fear right now in the Steel City with Stephon Tuitt. Just signed that big $61 million deal yesterday, and he may be out for the season. So bad news there for the defense, because I tell you what, the play that he hurt himself on, he just looked like a monster. I mean, he just looks like a man among boys out there, Anthony.
I know exactly what play you're talking about. I didn't know that was the last play that he was involved in. And if you listen to Mike Tomlin's press conference, he was pretty testy, for, even though it was an ugly win, it was still a win. And he was particularly short-tempered with the curt with the reporters, so maybe he already knew that what we're just finding out now. And that's horrible news. And it goes back to the preseason and these coaches being so protective of the players, and now you see why. I mean, he's probably, what, half of a quarter into the season, and he might be lost. So I guess you have to, you know, hope that the Alu Alu signing is a good one, and he finds that top 10 pedigree that he had back in 2010 when the Jaguars picked him. So, yeah, that's horrible news. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah, that's I don't know if you heard my phone beep. This came now 6 minutes old, but my phone just beeped, and it was Adam Schefter that is reporting it. Once again, today the team fears he tore his bicep. Monday is the MRI. If torn, his season would be over. So that's the first thing. When they said arm injury, that's the first thing that popped into my head. Made me very nervous. So let's just hope that that MRI fools us. But if you're like me, if the team is fearing something, and they have very good reason to do so, because we're just watching on TV, they're there. They have medical staff there. They have that gut feeling before the MRI. I would probably think that I'm erring on the side of it being worse news than better. So let's go to the phones right now. We have 646 area code getting ready to talk to us. You're on the Steelers Final Score with Tony and Brian.
Hey, Tony and Brian. This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Bryce,
hey,
my
Bryce.
Man. How are you, my friend?
Oh, doing good, doing good. Glad we got the win. Sorry to hear about Tuitt. That's a tough break.
Yeah, like I said, the MRI is tomorrow, so it's not official. But like, if you're like me, you hear that. If they're worried about it, then I think there's a very good reason to worry.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately for the team, if there is a bright spot, is there's some good depth on the defensive line. Tyson Alualu, you'd love to just have him as a backup, but if he's going to be pressed in. Walton, bring back Maxey, you know, did pretty well coming in last year as a backup. You're going to need that depth. So that time last year is going to help us, because a lot of those guys are going to be pressed into duty. They're going to have to step up.
Yeah, McCullers too. I mean, he's playing on the inside. He would be playing on the inside, but he would be needed more for depth from the inside, because you're going to move Alualu out. And Alualu, I mean, here's a guy that has started and has done fairly well for Jacksonville. I mean, a lot of anonymity in Jacksonville, but the guy's a good player. He's not Stephon Tuitt. Stephon Tuitt, even though he was picked in the second round, that was only because of injury, because he had a first-round grade, and that just ended up being an amazing draft for the Steelers at 1, 2, and 4, if you're talking about Shazier Tuitt and Martavis Bryant. But what's your reaction of the game? You always have a good insight on this.
I mean, first and foremost, you want to come away with the win, and they did that. I mean, your season is a disaster if you open up the season and lose to the Browns. You just, for morale, you just don't want to do that. But having said that, I mean, just way too undisciplined, very sloppy. you know, it was good to make a big special teams play. That's a nice effort by Medicavis to block a punt. That ended up being the difference in the game. I thought Eli Rogers did a pretty good job on returns. So hopefully they'll give him a chance to grow in that role as a punt returner. That's good to see. Defensively, you know, a lot of, you know, good coverage sacks. You know, they were able to get him on the ground a couple times, set the edge well. I thought Chickalo played with a lot of effort. That's great. You know, T.J. Watt continues to just be on the up, be on the rise. Good first outing. Showed great athleticism on the interception. I thought he had good bend around the edge, which was good, which is what you're going to need. Hey, you get to start off going against Joe Thomas, and I thought he represented himself really well as a rookie. Chick had a couple sacks. Secondary played a little closer than they did last year, but way too undisciplined. A couple blown coverages. Joe looked rusty. Coming out of his breaks, covering receivers, too many penalties. You know, you got a rookie quarterback, no interceptions. You know, cross-reference that with the Ravens, who got four on Andy Dalton. Granted, he's Andy Dalton, but still, you know, we needed a DB to get their hands on a pick, and we didn't get one. So there's room to grow in that secondary, but there's still talent. Front seven played well against the run, I thought. Offensively, Todd Haley was just too underneath. I mean, it's just a curious game plan. You know, we needed more. If Bell's rusty, more hit it and go runs, counters. We didn't see it. He comes out. He takes penalties. He's throwing screen passes. It's just too uneven. I mean, he set a bad precedent on the first drive that they just could never get out of as the play caller. He needed to do better. Their number two wide receivers were very poor. What is the route tree? If you had to ask, and finish it up with this, outside of Antonio, who is the best route runner on this football team as a receiver? I don't think we know, because we don't let our receivers run slants, curls, ends, arrows, digs. Where's the route tree for Martavis? I mean, the passing game is very predictable in its current state. Eli's going over the middle. Martavis is going deep. And we'll hit the tight end over the middle. They've got to do better. Todd Haley and the staff has to do better with the talent they have of getting these guys in routes and getting them going. Where's the 7-yard slant? Martavis 6'4", 220. Get him on a slant. Run it again. He messes it up. You're going in there again to run it. Like, you got to threaten the middle. You got to threaten these guys and do more than what they have. Offensive line took too many penalties. Ben was shaky to start. But I like the way that they fed Antonio. He was the best player on the field. So it's good to get the win.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, especially discipline. That was another one of my junior varsity targets, and I was just going to say discipline. Let me ask you this. There were four unsportsmanlike penalties because of hits. Three were helmet-to-helmet. And the other one was the late hit with TJ. You know, I don't think that – I'm trying to wrap my head around those penalties because, look, this is the state of the NFL with CTE. We know that they're going to be called if you're hitting with a helmet. I didn't think they were dirty like the Cleveland fans felt they were dirty. I thought they were very aggressive hits, but they you feel they could have been more disciplined, Bryce?
Yeah, just too undisciplined. I mean, look, TJ's call was terrible. I mean, but you got to know this is how they're calling it. I love the physicality of Wilcox. I thought he smacked maybe on Bell a couple of times last year when he played for Dallas. I noticed him when they signed him. I loved it. Got to play more discipline. Mike Mitchell is your example, actually. He's adjusted his game. He's still physical, but he hits with his shoulder. This is the NFL they're playing. They got to be more disciplined. That's very disappointing to see them be that undisciplined. I thought Pittsburgh went against two very good play callers today. Hugh Jackson's a good play caller. Say what you want about him. And Greg Williams is a good defensive play caller. And I thought they were a little bit better than our play callers, which is a little disappointing. Like, you know, even though we won, shades of 2013 when the Greg Williams Titan defense came in and punched us in the face.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, you got to figure these guys out. I mean, you've had a lot of time, and it's disappointing to see that type of game plan. with all the talent they have, and just to see it reduced down because Greg Williams is calling a great game and getting us in bad situations, and we're not responding well. That is disappointing. I mean, you got to get the win, but it's disappointing to see that.
Well, what do you think, Adoni?
Well, as far as the late hits, I think they were – the one on Watt was – I mean, it looked bad at live, but when you watched the replay, it seemed like a pretty petty call. And I can almost see them calling the one on William Gay. But again, when you saw it on replay, he hit him with his shoulder.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And why they waited a minute to call that penalty is just baffling to me, because I was expecting to see it as soon as I saw the hit, and then there were no flags, and all of a sudden, a minute later, everybody's cheering in the stadium, and then you look and you see the Tomlin going at it with the official, and then you know why. And I understand that it happened, you know, in a split second, and you couldn't tell that he didn't hit him with his helmet. But then why wait a minute? It just didn't make any sense to me. But as far as overall discipline, no, you're right. I mean, there's no masking 13 penalties for 144 yards or whatever it was. That was just, I mean, it was, they were joking that it was the fifth preseason game, and that's exactly how they played in a lot of ways. Brian.
Bryce, let me ask you this. We definitely know what you didn't like, especially on defense. We know what you didn't like on offense. What did you like on offense? And we're not talking Antonio Brown. I'm just talking about the overall scheme as it went from the first period all the way to the fourth.
Okay, so I liked – so, I mean, look, I know we're not talking Antonio Brown, but I like the way they moved him around. I mean, basically Ben said, okay, these other guys don't have it today. Let me get him around. I like what Jesse James did in the red area, of course. Ben threw a great ball to him. Ben threw some nice balls as he started to get into a rhythm. He threw some nice balls to Jesse James, nice combat catch in the end zone. Great call by Todd on the screen. I thought individually that was a great call. They've run that before with Heath Miller. I think that's a great goal line play. So I like that they kept Ben clean for the most part, which is good. There wasn't a lot of pressure, so they blocked up the blitz. I thought that helped them in terms of getting the passing game going because they won a lot of five wides. So, you know, those are things to build on. You want to keep Ben clean. I thought the one sack was a coverage sack. So, you know, you'll get that from time to time. But I think you kept them clean, which is good. I thought the defense played very hard from a scheme standpoint. And I thought we stuck closer to receivers for the most part than last year, even though I think we can be closer. And I love the sacks we were getting. There was some good pressure there, and there was some coverage sacks there, which lends itself to saying we were closer. Deshaun doesn't know where to go with the ball. He's a rookie. He eats it, which I thought helped us. Block punt's good, and I liked Eli, again, as I said, on the return game, you know, getting what he can on it, securing the football. I thought that was a positive side there.
All right, well, Bryce, like always, I appreciate hearing from you. You have great insight. Please keep calling all season long. I do want to follow up with what you said. I'm going to go ahead and do that right after this message from Frank Walker. Thanks, Bryce.
Thanks.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of FrankWalkerLaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or FrankWalkerLaw.com.
Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, and real results. Tony, one of the reasons I set Bryce up to talk about what he liked at the end of the game was where this team is going. I mean, this game is over, and they have Minnesota next week, and you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as like, okay, these are the problems that we have, or this is how we're going to overcome these problems. And I tell you what, I'm not putting Lev Bell on my junior varsity list. He's not on there whatsoever, and I had him on and crossed him off, and I'll tell you why. I thought he was underutilized. His biggest gaffe was just not with that screen pass, with that short little pass that that he did not get. But I thought in the fourth quarter he looked very good. And I think going into next week against Minnesota, not a bad defense whatsoever, I think he's going to go off. And I think this was his rust-shaken game. And I think that he is going to be just fine and back to juice form, back to $17 million man form, whether you think anybody thinks he deserves it or not, back to being the best running back slash receiver in the game. I think that's what's going to happen. So I like the way things were going in that fourth period with the offense, and I think there's a bright spot. And I'm just going to categorize this game as a rust-shaken game for the entire team. It wasn't pretty, but they got the win.
I agree. And one thing that we haven't mentioned is Reddick had the interception, and they had the ball at the 29. I think it was second down. And they created the mismatch between Rodgers and the linebacker. They had Rodgers going over the middle, and he was breaking open. And if Ben connects with him and they score a touchdown there, it's 28-10. And we're probably talking, other than the Tuitt news, of course, we're probably having a different discussion right now about how today went. Unfortunately, it was batted down by the defender, and on the next play, he threw that pick. And then two drives later, Cleveland's right back in it. So, yeah. If he connects with Rodgers there, I think we're talking about a different we have a different narrative for today's game. But unfortunately, it didn't go that way. But at least they got the win, Brian.
Well, I agree with you on that. Give me a junior varsity player. I don't care whether it's offense or defense. Just give me your JV player of the game.
I think I'm going to go with Juju because he the two holding calls, I believe they came on first down gains, plays that would have been first downs, and he didn't really. I don't think he had a catch. So yeah, I'm going to go with Juju Smith-Schuster for his. It wasn't a very good rookie debut for him.
You know what? That's who I had on my list too. So you stole my thunder on that one, and I'm glad you did because that means we completely agree on that. Juju looked lost out there today,
yeah.
But he's a good player. He's a smart player. He plays with a lot of heart. I can see him growing from this experience, but it wasn't the best debut for him. I do not believe he had any targets. If he did, I would be mistaken, but it didn't seem like many people had targets besides Antonio Brown. Let's go ahead and move on to grades. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and give a letter grade to the offense, and we'll move on from there.
Well, I'm going to give it a C, and that's only because of Antonio Brown with the 11 catches, 11 targets, which is always important for 182 yards, and then that the big play at the end. The guy is unbelievable. Triple team, and he goes up and he makes that play, and he comes down with it, and he saves the game essentially, he saved the division last year. You can say what you want about the guy, and people complain about his off the field stuff, which, by the way, it doesn't involve arrests or anything like that. It's just people don't like the way he conducts himself, which who cares? Just show up and play, and as long as you don't get arrested, I really don't care. He's just an awesome player, so I'm going to give them a C, and that's only because of Antonio. Sorry to go off on a tangent there, but
no. I'm actually glad you said that because he doesn't do anything off the field, but have fun. But when he gets into practice, when he gets into camp, when any time there, from what I am told and from what I am to understand, he's the hardest working guy on that team. If he catches a 5-yard slant, he runs to the end zone to get used to running to the end zone. The guy just works, works, and I think he's the best offensive player in the game right now. But I'll talk about him a little bit more if you smell what I'm cooking there. My offensive grade, I'm going to give them a C+. And the reason they're getting the plus on that C is, I like what I saw in the fourth quarter. I think we saw in the fourth quarter what the Steelers are going to be more and more of. There was a complete difference, and I know I keep talking about it, but that fourth quarter let me see that there were that they were adapting and that the season starts next week. Even with a win today, the season really gets underway next week. Let's go on to defensive grades, and I'm going to kick it off by giving the Steelers a B on defense. Hey, look, I thought they looked pretty good on defense. They were getting pressure. There were coverage sacks. So if you're getting pressure and you're getting coverage sacks, that means that the defensive backs are, like Bryce said, are sticking to their men. They didn't get the interceptions. They almost had one or two. The people that I were with today were complaining about Joe Hayden. Hey, look, Joe Hayden got a game ball from the team today, which I thought was a big deal. And here's the thing about I thought Joe Hayden looked pretty good. He had a pass defense. He had a sack. He had another quarterback pressure. He was in the area of an interception. Yeah, he gave some cushion. Corey Coleman actually, when Corey Coleman caught the one ball on him for a decent gain, it almost looked like it was an afterthought that the ball was even being thrown to Coleman from Hayden. I didn't think he looked bad. Hey, he's been with the team 9 days or so.
Yeah.
And that's the same with Vance McDonald and the same with J.J. Wilcox. I mean, they're football players and they're good football players, but it's not rust. It's getting comfortable in a scheme. And for doing what those guys did today, I got to give all three of them a pass. I thought that was one of the better defensive performances as far as coverage that I've seen from that team in a long time. So that's why they're getting a B. They gave pressure. They looked good. The Tuitt thing, hope I'm overreacting. Hope the team's overreacting. Don't think they are. That's going to hurt. But Hayward looked pretty darn good. Hargrave looked great today.
Oh.
And they haven't – I mean, and he's always going to be an unsung hero. And I'm going to stop right there because we're going to get into game balls pretty soon on my praise of individual players. I'm going to leave a couple out, and I think you probably know why I'm doing that. As far as defense goes, let's get a letter grade from you, Tony.
I hate to be a copycat, but yeah, B sounds pretty good. I mean, I think they gave up, I want to say 237 yards, which you can't really complain about. Like 37 yards, or I'm sorry, 57 yards on the ground. I mean, that's you'll take that every week. Seven sacks. You know, I thought the defensive line, even when Tuitt left, looked really good. I thought Hargrave looked good. I thought Alulu was pretty active, and Hayward had the sack. You know, I thought they did all they could do, considering how poor the offense played, especially over the first quarter and a half when they gained like 40 yards over the first five or six drives. You know, you're putting defense in a bad spot there. And as far as Hayden, he seemed to be targeted a lot, but I don't remember Artie Burns' name being called much at all. And maybe it was. I can't recall off the top of my head, but maybe that means that he's playing so good on the other side that they had to go to Hayden, which I think is good news for the Steelers because you have a Pro Bowl guy as your number two, and you have a second-year guy as becoming one of the better cornerbacks in the league, if that's the case. So overall, I'm going to give the defense a B today. Brian.
Okay, and then I'm going to take special teams for both of us. We've talked about special teams a little bit. Bryce, I'm going to give him credit for mentioning Eli Rogers, how good he looked. The special teams with that you touched on, Matakevich, and now that started everything off. So I'm going to go ahead and give them a B plus. In fact, you know, I'll scratch that and even give them an A minus. I thought that was a pretty good special teams performance from that team. Chris Boswell really didn't have to do much of anything because when they were getting in range, they were converting them into touchdowns, and that's actually a good thing too. So overall A minus. So overall grade, I think we can go ahead and see that those grades equate to about a B for the game, and that's what it was. You know, you got to give a victory. We can go ahead and give them a B because, you know, they got a victory, and that raises the curve. You know, as far as I'm concerned, this team, this was, you hit it on the head, this was preseason game number 5. I think the season starts next week. Let's get ready to wrap up the show, Tony, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to quickly go ahead and give out your ultimate game ball for offense and defense.
Well, how can you not go with Antonio Brown? I mean, it's just that's an obvious one. 11 catches, 182 yards. As far as the defense, I'm going to go with Anthony Ciccolo. I mean, everybody expected Dupree to be playing today, and he had to miss. And if your backup comes in and gets you two sacks, especially considering he there were question marks about his development coming into his third year after being a defensive end in college. I'm going to give my defensive game ball to Ciccolo.
You know what, Antonio Brown, no brainer. That was my game ball. What a fantastic performance. He is probably would be your offensive player of the week, but I think Kareem Hunt is going to get it for obvious reasons for everything he did with Kansas City the other night. But Antonio Brown was absolutely amazing. He's going to shatter some records if he and his quarterback stay healthy. On the defensive side, I am going to agree with you on Anthony Ciccolo, but I'm handing my game ball to T.J. Watt. So let me hit Ciccolo real quick. His teammates rave about him. His teammates love the work ethic of Chick. They love what he does. They think he's a very good football player, and he stepped right in for Bud Dupree. And he was around. He had two sacks and just a punt block, and he was just around the ball all the time. I mean, I could see a guy like that starting for a team like this. You want to keep Bud Dupree in the mix, but Chick was very good. But T.J. Watt, his brother never had a performance as a rookie like he did today. He's being compared to him all the time. I think T.J. Watt is making his own legacy. But that's one of the best opening performances from a defender that I have ever seen. The guy has football in his blood, in his brain, in his mindset, in his DNA. T.J. Watt, and I just found out that his name was Trent. I had no idea that the guy's name was Trent.
Yeah, same here.
But I thought T.J. was absolutely incredible. And here's the other thing, and this has a lot to do with Stephon Tuitt going out. And this is something else that we might think about here. You might actually see T.J. Watt playing on the defensive line and for Stephon Tuitt. I mean, that is possible. He, correct me if I'm wrong, he played there today, right?
I think I remember seeing him with his hand on the ground at least a few times. Yeah.
I heard it mentioned, but I didn't notice it with my own eyes. But I thought I heard Greg Gumbel mention it, or Trent Green mention it. So as far as that goes, we're just talking about how great a guy like Ciccolo played. And we have James Harrison in the mix. And maybe it's an opportunity to have all those guys on the field at once. So game balls, let's agree on offense, Antonio Brown. Let's split the game balls on defense for Anthony Ciccolo and T.J. Watt. So, Tony, let's wrap things up. What's your final thought for the week?
Like they say, a win is a win. I'm glad they got out of Cleveland with a victory, and I'm looking forward to next week. You give the offense one more week to gel. This is a great offense. I mean, we all know how good the offensive line is, and Ben and Brown, and the potential of Bryant and Bell, and so I'm not really worried about the offense. I think next week in front of the home crowd, it's going to be a much better performance. I don't know how many points you're going to score, but I think next week at this time we're going to have our grades for the offense are going to be much higher, Brian.
Well, very good. For me, home game, home opener, a team that is being panned right now for a team that was supposed to go out and blow this team out. They didn't do it. But what I saw on the field today, on the TV today, actually, what I saw was a very good coach in Hugh Jackson, a very good young quarterback who is going to be a star in this league in Deshaun Kizer, and guys like Corey Coleman who just play with a motor, and a very proud young Cleveland team without Myles Garrett. I think this is a team to be worried about in the future. I think you're going to see the one Ohio team go down, and this Ohio team take their place as one of the most dangerous teams for Pittsburgh in the next couple years. We've got to worry about Baltimore. They are a lot better, and I've been talking about this all preseason long. They're a lot better than anybody thinks. We cannot sleep on the Baltimore Ravens. But as far as the Pittsburgh Steelers, they are as advertised. You didn't see it early today, but I saw glimpses of it in the fourth quarter. This is going to be a completely different situation next week when it's a home opener against the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to be fired up, and I really can't wait to see what they do. We're going to be happy next week if it goes the way I think it's going to go. So thank you very much, Tony. It was great talking to you this evening.
Thank you, Brian. And it was great to talk to Steelers football again with you.
And like you said, a win's a win, and we're feeling good on the Steelers' final score. Remember, check us out next week at the very same time. We're going to hopefully be celebrating a victory over the Minnesota Vikings, or we're going to have a lot to complain about. Either way, we're going to be here. Steeler Final Score is brought to you by Frank Walker Law, and of course, Behind the Steel Curtain. Remember, more and more articles drop every single morning and all day long as it happens. For your most comprehensive Steeler information, news, stories, commentaries, and fun, also podcast, it's BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Don't forget, this is the Steelers' final score. It was a big win, 21-18. No matter how you slice it, a win is a win. I'm Brian Anthony Davis. For Tony DeFeo, have a great week, everybody. Good night, Steeler Nation.
Take care, Brian.
Good job, buddy.